Grubhub, Kirby Stop Market, 615-323-9098.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. Being arrested doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. Being served with custody paperwork doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. It may feel that way, but if you have Amanda J. Gentry representing you, you can feel confident that you're going to have the best quality representation in all of Middle Tennessee. Amanda J. Gentry goes wherever justice demands. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Music, news, talk, and sports. WQKR Portland, 1270 AM and 101.7 FM.
While the hosts and guests on this program are encouraged to express their views, they do not necessarily reflect those of the ownership or management of WQKR.
Good afternoon, Sumner County. Welcome to The Loyal Opposition, a show based on the American ideal that nations like ours benefit when government reflects a diversity of voices and makes space for dissent. That's why we're here, to air the voice of dissent to the supermajority's policies and ideas. I am your host, Len Asante. It is 5:01 p.m. on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. In fact, it is so beautiful, I'm going to tell you the weather. It is 81 degrees and sunny in Portland, Tennessee. Low going down to 57 tonight with clear skies. Tomorrow going to be cooler. A low of 51 and a high of 74. So the sunny fall weather continues. On today's show, we're going to be speaking with Sumner County Assistant District Attorney Tara Wiley. We'll be giving you some updates on early voting totals in Sumner County, and I'm going to be complaining about gun violence and the franchise and excise tax. Sounds like a pretty exciting show to me, so stay tuned. You're going to want to hear it all right here on WQKR, starting with this early voting update. Hey, Sumner County, it looks like somebody's listening because people are voting. Through yesterday, Tuesday, the 22nd of October, 25,629 people have voted in Sumner County in this upcoming election. That is over 20% of the total of registered voters in the county. So we're on track to have a good turnout for a change. As we've talked about many times in the show, Sumner County is one of the worst laggards in voting, and in one of the states that's one of the worst laggards in voting. So it's good to see people getting out there and voting for the candidates of your choice. As is often the case, Hendersonville is leading the way with early voters with a one-day total of 2,239, the single largest turnout of any single day at any single location. That was just Monday. Gallatin's highest turnout was also Monday with 2,065. Portland's highest turnout so far was 1,570 on, last Friday, the 18th. This is a little surprising. I thought Gallatin would come out a little bit more because we've got that sales tax referendum on the ballot. As hopefully regular listeners know, one of the things on the Gallatin ballot this year will be a half-cent increase in the sales tax, in the local option sales tax, which is estimated to raise about $3 million a year for the city. The argument for the sales tax increase is that this way everyone shares the burden of growth in Gallatin, including people who don't live there, but people who shop there or work there or conduct other business in the city limits. On the other side of the coin, sales tax can be seen as a regressive form of taxation that places an unfair burden on poorer folks. So I've been wrestling with this one, and I'd be interested to hear what people out there think about the sales tax increase in Gallatin. I'm going to hold off saying whether I'm going to vote for it or not, If you have an opinion on this issue, if you are want to share your opinion about the sales tax, how you're going to vote on the sales tax in Gallatin, give us a text at 516-440-6310. That is 516-440-6310. Early voting continues through Halloween, Thursday, October 31st. Satellite voting today is in Westmoreland, next on Friday and Saturday in Goodlettsville, and on Monday and Tuesday in White House. So if you live in Goodlettsville or White House, you do have a chance to vote close to home. For the rest of us, the usual early voting locations in Hendersonville at the library and in Gallatin at the Hartsville Church of Christ. Hartsville Pike Church of Christ are available. For all your election information, everything you need to know to vote, candidates, sample ballot, and so forth, visit votesumnertn.org. That's www.votesumnertn.org. And I'll have all the information that you need. All right. So, Tara Wiley, guest today, have you voted yet?
I did. I voted in Portland last Friday.
You voted in Portland, really?
I did.
You don't live in Portland, do you?
I do.
Oh, you do live in Portland.
Not in the city limits. I live in the county in Portland.
Okay.
But the line, I timed it. It took me 57 minutes from the time that I got in the line.
Wow.
Until I was able to cast my ballot.
And you voted on Friday, you said?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you were one of those 1,570 people. If you had waited to Saturday, less than half that many people voted.
Yeah, I spoke to some people out here at the Portland Fall Festival, and it seemed like the line was only 20 minutes on Saturday as opposed to the almost an hour that I waited on Friday.
I'm good. I'm glad that you voted early, and I'm glad that many other Portlanders did as well. That's over 2,300 people in Portland alone have voted early, not including absentee ballots and people from Portland who came to Hendersonville or Gallatin to vote. So that's good turnout numbers. We've got a bunch of local races in Portland. Right? We've got several city council positions open. And the way they do it in Portland is it's like the top three or four, however many seats they're open, get it. There's no wards or districts. Right? So, well, good. All right. So folks, again, if you haven't voted yet, please get out and vote, because if the lines are long during early voting, you can just imagine what they're going to be like on election day. So take advantage of Tennessee's early voting law. Not every state has that, so take advantage. Okay, onward and upward. Okay, talking about gun violence, and a topic that comes up on the show every now and then. A mass shooting the Saturday before last in Nashville marks the 13th mass shooting in Tennessee this year, according to data compiled by Tennessee Under the Gun, a public resource tracking gun violence in the state. As of this incident, 9 people have been killed and 60 others have been injured in mass shootings across Tennessee in 2024. According to my handy little chart right here, in 2024 to date, we have already had 13 mass shootings compared to 21 in all of 2023, and a total injured of 60 compared to a total of 80 in 2023. We're on a record-breaking pace, unfortunately. The statistics, sourced from the National Gun Violence Archive and organized by Tennessee Under the Gun, as I mentioned, paint a troubling picture of gun violence in our state. In 2023 alone, Tennessee experienced a record-breaking 21 mass shootings, resulting in the deaths of 37 people and injuries to 80 others. By the way, the Gun Violence Archive defines a mass shooting as an incident in which 4 or more people are injured, not including the shooter. So that doesn't even include all the other incidents where just 1 or 2 people were shot. Okay. Tennessee Under the Gun is a website that is managed by the Office of State Senator Heidi Campbell, who launched the initiative following the Covenant School shooting in Nashville a couple years back, where 3 9-year-old children and 3 adult staff members were killed. Okay, folks, so since Republicans have gained complete control of Tennessee's government in 2011, the legislature has repealed gun safety laws, made it easy for dangerous people to access firearms, and blocked local governments from taking steps to prevent shooting. These policy changes have coincided with a surge in mass gun violence across Tennessee, where gunshot wounds are now the leading cause of death among children. Despite public outcry for solutions, and including universal background checks and red flag laws and waiting periods for firearm purchases, progress has been stalled by Republican lawmakers. While Tennessee overwhelmingly supports common-sense gun safety measures to keep firearms out of the hands of dangerous people, according to every poll that I have seen, the Republican-controlled legislature continues to block any meaningful reform and, in fact, considers more legislation to continue to lessen gun control laws. So, folks, as you are waiting in line on early voting day or on election day, please keep that in mind. In Sumner County, we have four Democratic candidates running for state office, and all of them have gun safety legislation as part of their platforms, including State Senate candidate Walter Chandler and State House candidate Brian Robertson, both of whom will be on our show next week, and will undoubtedly talk to us more about that. Okay, onwards and upwards to something even more exciting than gun violence. We've got the franchise and the excise tax. Hey, how about that? Don't you know you're going to sit on the edge of your seats every week at the Loyal Opposition talking about the franchise and excise tax? Who knows? Next week we might be talking about, oh, I don't know, arcane motor vehicle law or some other horrible thing. Okay, the franchise and excise tax, by the way, is Tennessee's primary source of corporate tax revenue. Through 2 months of the fiscal year, of this 2024-2025 fiscal year, a report says that franchise and excise tax filers have paid $81.6 million less than what was paid last fiscal year at this point. This decline in revenue was predicted and is a direct consequence of corporate tax breaks enacted by Governor Bill Lee and the Republican supermajority. If you spread this $81.6 million figure across the 53,000 corporations that pay the franchise and excise tax, that is an average tax break of $1,500 each, and that just is for the first 2 months of the fiscal year. That doesn't include the following 10 months. Okay. Meanwhile, the Republican legislature has time and time again rejected state grocery tax cuts for low and middle income families whose effective tax burden is more than double the rate paid by businesses. So again, folks, as you're waiting online for early voting, think about that. Is Tennessee's tax burden fairly distributed among individuals of all classes and organizations of all types? And according to this data, some of that is possible. I think some of that, the answer to that is no. And that brings us again to the Gallatin sales tax initiative on the ballot in Gallatin. Please remember to text your perspective, your opinion on that issue to 516-440-6310. That's 516-440-6310, and we'll get your voice on the air. That is why we're here. Okay. So, Tara, you mentioned Fall Fest here in Portland the other day. You attended.
I did.
How did you like it?
I liked it.
Yeah? Good crowd, good time, good weather?
There was quite a few people here. I was very impressed with the strawberries that were decorated for Halloween.
The Halloween-themed strawberries, yes. That is a true Portland original.
I liked it.
The Fall Fest is a growing event here in Portland and is looking and is, I don't know, I don't know if it's ever going to surpass the Strawberry Festival in bigness, but it is sort of becoming the bookend to Strawberry Festival here in Portland, with the Strawberry Fest in May at the beginning of the spring summer season and Fall Fest at the end. Okay. People love these things. Gallatin had their Square Fest on the square a couple of weekends ago, and over 20,000 people showed up.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people packed into the town square for Gallatin. So, yeah, people love this stuff. So, if you haven't had a chance to get out and see what's going on in our town, lots of stuff happening. Lots of stuff happening. And the weather is perfect for it. Okay, we're going to take our first break right now, folks. When we come back, it's going to be a conversation with Sumner County Assistant District Attorney Tara Wiley here on the Loyal Opposition on WQKR.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. We have a team committed to helping you navigate the court system, whether you've been accused of a crime or you're going through a messy divorce and custody. Call our team to help you navigate this system. We are here to protect your rights, to demand your rights, to enforce your rights. 615-604-6263. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
The Sumner County Anti-Drug Coalition, an organization dedicated to ending drug abuse, is now the Sumner Prevention Coalition. But their goal is the same, helping Sumner County residents with drug abuse problems turn their lives around and get on the road to recovery. Their mission is to unite people with vision, commitment, and resources to provide solutions to eliminate substance abuse and make a difference for youth, families, and individuals in Sumner County. The coalition and its staff of experienced professionals in the field envision a healthy, safe, and thriving community, free from substance abuse of all kinds, tobacco use, prescription drug abuse, and underage drinking. Find out how the Sumner Prevention Coalition can help you, and you can help the coalition. Visit them online at sumnercoalition.org. That's sumnercoalition.org.
WQKR. Portland is pleased to welcome Cole Lumber Company to our business community. They will now be this area's leading supplier of building materials. Operating since 1946, Cole Lumber, with their 7 Kentucky locations, has selected Portland as their first operation in Tennessee. And we are glad to have them here. Cole is 100% employee-owned. It is their goal to provide all of their customers with both quality building materials and friendly service. From a staff that is both knowledgeable and experienced, serving the needs of both contractors and homeowners, from building a dream home to a weekend project, Cole Lumber has the knowledge, experience, and materials to help you. No matter what you want or need, visit Cole Lumber Company, 462 North Broadway in Portland.
We have a saying here in the Tennessee Valley, if you don't like the weather, just give it a few minutes and it'll change, which is why you need a heating and cooling system that can keep up, like a high-efficiency electric heat pump that starts saving you money the minute you turn it on. And now that your local power company and TVA are offering 8% financing for up to 10 years, there's never been a smarter time to make the switch. So call your local power company or log on to EnergyRight.com.
Call CEMC and join the heat pump revolution today.
This is the Loyal Opposition. I'm your host, Len Asante. You're listening to WQKR Portland. It is 5:17 p.m., 80 degrees and sunny skies in Portland, Tennessee. We are speaking today with Tara Wiley. Tara Wiley is one of several assistant district attorneys for Sumner County. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, great to have you. Absolutely great to have you. How did we meet again?
We met at a chamber.
Chamber of Commerce event, was it? Right?
Yes.
Okay. Glad to have you with us. And as I always ask everyone, their first question on the show is always pretty much the same. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what strange life journey has landed you in this seat across from me here in Portland, Tennessee?
Well, I am born and raised here in Gallatin, Tennessee. My family goes back to the 1820s in Sumner County.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And my father was a Tennessee state trooper for 36 years. And his career and legacy in law enforcement is actually what motivated me to go to law school. And I actually went to law school with the intention of being a prosecutor. That was what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And with my law degree. And
where
so
did you go to law school?
I went to the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. Go Vols. I just had a big win this past weekend over Alabama.
I bet they'll be talking about that on the sports show coming up after us. Absolutely.
Yes, they like to talk. A lot of people around here like to talk about it when UT beats Alabama. So I went to law school, and I really wanted to be a prosecutor. I don't know that I really understood exactly what that would entail and what that would mean realistically when I was young. I started law school at 21, and I graduated law school at 24 years of age. And I actually got a job right out of law school working in workers' compensation law. So from the time that I took the bar exam until I got my bar results, I was working at a firm in Nashville doing workers' compensation law.
Wow.
And then I got a call from General Ray Whitley, the district attorney here in Sumner County, and he does the character and fitness interviews for people from Sumner County who are wanting to be licensed. So I had met him in that process, and he had asked me, and I thought he was just being polite. During that process, he said, well, would you ever want to come work here if I have an opening? And I said, yes, I would love to do that. And he said he would call me if he had a job opening. And he, in fact, did. A few months later, he called me up and said, hey, I've got a job opening. Wow. Would you want to come do an interview? And I said, I absolutely would. And I came and interviewed with him, and he offered me the job, and I've never looked back. I started in 2007, and I was responsible for the domestic violence cases for a five-year period. I did those from 2007 to 2012. And at some point in there, I also started handling the juvenile court cases, and so I was in front of Judge Barry Brown a lot there at the beginning of my career. And in 2014,
a good man gone too soon.
A wonderful person. He was a wonderful judge, and he was always very kind to everyone that appeared in front of him, lawyers, assistant DAs, and juveniles, their parents, everyone. So then I went on. In 2014, I got assigned to handle the child abuse and sexual assault cases for the county. And I did that for a five-year period exclusively. I handled all of those cases. So any case that involved child abuse, child sexual abuse, or adult sexual abuse, I handled from 2014 to 2019. And then I became more of a general crimes prosecutor and handled general crimes and violent crimes.
5 years doing the sexual violence stuff.
Yes.
Does that wear on you? I don't want to say does it get old, but it seems like it would be emotionally draining.
It is one of the hardest jobs. Okay. For law enforcement that work those cases, and for the assistant district attorneys, for people that work at the Child Advocacy Center, and for the Department of Children's Services that have to deal with those cases from the beginning to the end, I think it's a very difficult thing for everybody involved.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see a lot of emotions. Wow. Gosh. Okay. Is that a standard sort of career progression as you go through your career as an assistant district attorney? You get assigned different kinds of cases or specialized in different areas?
Not necessarily. Really? I think it depends on where you're practicing and how the things are divided up in a particular office. That's just my trajectory, and that I'm probably the only assistant DA in Sumner County that has that particular trajectory.
Gotcha.
It sort of just depends on where you are. For example, I have a friend at the office who we both got out of law school at the same time. She came out of Vanderbilt in 2007 and started at the Davidson County DA's office, and she's now in Sumner, but she's been doing drug cases the whole time, and that's what she handles. So it just sort of depends on where you are and maybe what your interests are.
How many assistant district attorneys are there in Sumner County?
There are 13 attorneys, and I think that includes General Whitley as well. Although I haven't counted lately, so don't hold me to that. If we have 14.
Might be more.
we've had some added positions because we've had so much growth in the community in the last few years. We've had this exponential growth, and the more people that we have, of course,
there's going to be more crime.
There's going to be more cases that come through. So,
is there any sort of, best practices or standard? This many people should be this many assistant district attorneys. This much crime equals this many judges, or anything like that.
They do case studies. We recently got a new judicial position here in Sumner County, and there is a method for that, where they look at the amount of cases coming through and the amount of trial court judges that you have.
Gotcha.
And that in that weighted, they called it a weighted case study, in that weighted case study, it showed that we did, in fact, need an additional trial court judge, and the legislator got that passed, and we got that position, and that person started on September 1st. And I hope that helps relieve some of the backlog that we see on the criminal side. I don't deal with the civil side, but on the criminal side, I hope we see some help for being able to get cases to trial sooner.
How long does it take
to get a case to trial?
Mm-hmm. From, say, the time someone's arrested to the time they're in front of their trial starts. I mean, obviously, it must vary a lot from situation to situation.
Yeah, right? And I think it also depends on the complexity of the case.
Sure.
And a lot of times you'll see the defendant will be the one wanting a continuance. It's not typically, it's not the state that necessarily wants. I mean, we may have situations where we need a continuance. But as a ballpark, in the last few years, since COVID, it's been at least a year for somebody to get charged and indicted and then get their case to a jury trial. And that would probably be pretty fast. Now, we're seeing faster times now that we have this additional judge.
Sure. And COVID slowed everyone down.
COVID
in the legal world.
Very difficult on the court system to handle.
You were here for that. So you had to go through that. Right?
Yeah, we went through that. The Tennessee Supreme Court really paused things during COVID because a lot of things that were handled were just cases where people were in custody during the kind of the height of the
right
time when people were very scared of what COVID-19 was going to do and the impact it was going to have on people's health.
Yeah, pretty scary time for. I bet if someone's sitting in the Sumner County Jail, gosh.
Yeah. Well, and the transmission and places
sure.
like that was
exactly.
A
you would
lot
think
higher.
That would be yeah. You would think that would be like a prime place for things to spread. Yeah. So, what does an assistant district attorney do? What is your day to day? Give us a day to day.
So, as an assistant district attorney, it's our job to represent the state in criminal prosecutions. This means that we spend a lot of time reviewing the evidence, working directly with law enforcement, and our ultimate job is that we present the case in court. I think we're different from other lawyers in that we are the only attorneys where it is our job to seek justice. And justice may mean that you have someone in front of you who you determine that they did not, in fact, commit the crime. And in that circumstance, justice is making sure that that person doesn't get convicted. And we
has
also,
that ever happened to you?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, it has. And we work on a wide range of cases from misdemeanors to serious felonies. And our role is also to ensure that victims have a voice and that the legal process is fair and just for everyone involved.
Do you have a most memorable case, something that really stands out? I mean, you knew you were going to get asked this question, so and I imagine over a 17-year career, there's probably a lot of them, but does anything come to mind?
Yeah, I've handled some really pretty serious cases here in Sumner County. There are two that for me really stick out. One was a homicide case where a juvenile killed his mother.
Wow.
In a very violent fashion. And I tried that case along with General Whitley. And it was a difficult case, and it had a lot of kind of complexities even during the trial that we weren't expecting. And because he was so young when he committed the crime, it was just a very... He was a minor.
Okay.
Yeah, he was 15 when he committed the crime, and it was very difficult. And the other case that I can think of was a home invasion that I was involved with prosecuting that involved three co-defendants, and it included a pretty violent sexual assault, and it happened at two different locations, and it's the case that I have that got the longest sentence, the most culpable offender got 131 years to serve.
Wow.
Yeah. And whenever you are involved in something like that, what you see as a prosecutor is the impact that it has on the offender's life and then also on the victim's lives. Mm-hmm. And everyone's life is altered forever.
Right.
And
right.
And it's
including the prosecutors and the defense attorneys, perhaps, and the judge and the jury.
Yes, us less.
Sure.
I'd say us less so than someone that actually had a really terrible crime mm-hmm. committed against them. But you certainly see the repercussions and how it continues. Mm. You know, months, years later.
Years later. Gosh. The first case you mentioned with the minor who was who shot his mom, does the law in that case allow someone like that to be tried as an adult?
I didn't say he shot his mom. He killed his mom.
He killed his mom.
Yes. Just a correction there.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. Does the law allow...
Can that person be prosecuted as an adult?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And the law's changed some in that regard through the years, but... There are particular parameters for situations when a juvenile can be transferred and tried as an adult. And that case went through that process and got transferred.
Gotcha. You mentioned that the law has changed over the years. And, I mean, obviously the law changes constantly.
It does.
Right?
Yes, it does.
What do attorneys do in regards to sort of keeping up with the times, with the changes, professional development, continuing education? What do you have to do?
So you have to maintain all the requirements to keep your law license, and that includes continuing legal education, or CLEs is what we call those for short. And actually, the District Attorney General's Conference puts on trainings, and they also do pretty extensive training throughout the year, letting us know if there's big changes, if legislation gets passed. They may host a CLE that they put on. So we have a conference that puts on things for us. The Tennessee Public Defender's Office also has a conference. I'm sure they do similar
things for their
CLEs.
Sure.
But yeah, to maintain your licensing, you have to turn these CLEs in. You have so many hours you have to get, pay fees and fines and things like that.
Good. Interesting. I'm glad it's important. People realize it's important to keep up. So the legislature passes a lot of laws every year, changes in laws, right? And I assume as a district attorney for Tennessee, you deal exclusively, almost exclusively, with state law as opposed to federal law?
Yes, we do not do... The U.S. Attorney's Office handles the violations of federal law. Now, you will see some overlap. And I have through the years had cases where I might have some portion of a charge, and then the federal government will have other charges for something that happened that was a violation of federal law. And you may prosecute them or that individual in tandem, or you may... see that they're going to get so much federal time that you let them go on and let the...
Sort of kick it upstairs, so to speak, because they're going to get...
Sometimes they have more serious sentencing guidelines, and it just depends on what the charge is.
Gotcha.
But I have had cases where I've been prosecuting along with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and we do work with them from time to time on cases.
Interesting. All right. All right, folks. Time for another commercial break. We have to pay the bills, as they say. When we come back, more with ADA Tara Wiley. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
McDonald's presents Burger Reviews by Hamburglar. Today's review, the hotter, juicier classic burgers. Hamburglar, the time is yours.
Bravo, bravo.
He said, these are McDonald's best burgers ever. And then, can I keep them? And then he just grabbed them and ran away.
Bravo.
It's your time to run, too. Get your McDonald's favorites. Enjoy this delicious deal. Buy one Big Mac, double cheeseburger, or McDouble. And get another one for $1. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Here's an important message from Portland Natural Gas, always looking out for your safety. Think you have a gas leak? First, evacuate the area. Don't use matches, electrical switches, flashlights, or telephones. And report it immediately by calling Portland Natural Gas at 325-6776. If you think the leak is serious and a real danger is present, call 911. Portland Natural Gas, looking out for your safety and providing cost-efficient heating and cooling for Portland residents.
Now you can join Planet Fitness and get the PF Black Card for zero enrollment, $24.99 a month, and get all the perks.
I love perks.
Do you love having access to 2,000 plus locations?
Yes.
Bringing a friend every time?
Hashtag friend goals.
And recovering with massage chairs?
Who doesn't?
Get the PF Black Card and feel fitacular. Zero enrollment, $24.99 a month. See club for details.
If you're on Medicare, here's exciting news. The Medicare annual enrollment period is just weeks away. Portland has a local trusted advisor who can help seniors sort through all the confusing aspects of Medicare, and there are a lot of changes in cost and services this year. Kyle Doris and Medicare Insurance Advisors can help you make sense out of all the plans and supplements. Best of all, the advice and service from Kyle and MIA doesn't cost you a penny. Give them a call at 615-325-0064 or visit Kyle at 621 South Broadway.
The Medical Center at Franklin is proud to serve the Franklin-Simpson County community. More than just a hospital, the Medical Center at Franklin offers the care you need close to home. From primary care to routine screenings like mammograms, colonoscopies, or lung cancer screenings, we take care of your emergency needs, offer school-based care, and even cancer and rehab services. Visit medcenterhealth.org/franklin to learn more.
The Beatles?
Pat Benatar? Survivor?
The Who?
Led Zeppelin!
Reminds me of the stuff I grew up listening to. You know, reminds me of being a kid and stuff.
WQKR plays the music you grew up with. Great rock and roll and pop hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's fun to listen to. Fun contests to great prizes, too. All day, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. WQKR. WQKR.
It's reminiscent. It's the stuff that you grew up with.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition. Whoa. You're hearing that? Get some serious feedback here. There it goes. Okay. All right, folks. You're listening to Loyal Opposition here on WQKR. I am your host, Lynn Asante. It is 78 degrees at 5:37 p.m. here on a beautiful, sunny Wednesday afternoon. We are speaking with Assistant District Attorney Tara Wiley, and we're learning about the legal system in Sumner County, and we're learning a lot, so it is great. Over the break, we were talking about a bunch of things: social media, Portland strawberries, and I had to mention, and of course, we were talking about Mayor Mike Callis, Portland's biggest cheerleader. Been a guest on the show a couple times. Mayor, if you're listening, hey, shout out for you. We are small town mayor. Mayor Mike Callis is a great example of a small town mayor, because he is such a big cheerleader for his town and is really passionate about the issues. I was joking that we spent a half hour talking about asphalt on the show a couple of weeks ago, and the two big issues in Portland: roads and water. Last Monday night, I had the opportunity to host a candidate forum at the NAACP in Gallatin, and some of the candidates for Portland City Council were there, and one of the questions that they were asked was, what is the biggest issue facing Portland? And I remember one of the candidates just kind of got this look on her face after she said that, after I asked her that question, and she said, Well, I've learned a lot about water since I've been on the council. And water is a big issue in Portland, folks, if you don't know it. We came within a week of mandatory water restrictions earlier this summer in Portland. If it wasn't for that first hurricane rainstorm we got, we might be rationing water right now in Portland. So, and dealing with that is a pretty expensive proposition. So I do not envy long discussions between the mayor and the council about water and asphalt. Okay. Back with Tara Wiley. Probably most of the people listening, hopefully most of the people listening, will never have to interact with the legal system, especially the state criminal court part of the legal system. And probably most people have little or no experience doing that. So one of the questions I want to ask you is do you have any hints or tips for navigating the process? What are some mistakes maybe you've seen people make, things that they could have done that would have made their life a little easier or the case go a little bit more smoothly or being a little bit more of an efficient, less harrowing process?
So I have been doing this for 17 years, and one of the biggest mistakes that I think people make is trying to represent themselves.
Really? We still get that?
We do, and I have had at least 3 jury trials with defendants who, the legal term that we use for that is that they're pro se.
Pro se, right.
And I have had 3 jury trials with pro se defendants. And I think that it's not a good idea to try to navigate the system on your own. It often leads to complications, and the defense attorney is there to protect your rights and to make sure that all of the rules are followed, and also to try to work out the best agreement that they can for their client and act in their client's best interest. And so I think it's important to get your legal counsel and listen to them.
Okay. Not just get legal counsel, but listen to their advice, right? So I would imagine that even non-legal matters like knowing how and when and where to file paperwork and just sort of miscellaneous administrative tasks are something that would be difficult for someone not used to the system to even, you know, be asking the clerk a lot of questions, I guess, right?
Yeah, even when someone's a victim or a witness in a case, when they come in and have to testify or talk to us, you can tell that they're nervous. And
sure,
it's difficult to get on the stand and not even be an accused person and have to come in and testify. And those people don't necessarily need their own representation, but it's a scary thing to go in and get placed under oath and have to take the stand and talk about something that happened to you, especially if it's a serious crime or you're
sure
a victim in a case. So even for people who aren't charged, it's a scary process and can be. So imagine if you're looking at potentially losing your liberty. And that's
right
why we have defense attorneys, and they right do a good job in representing people. That's what they're trained to do. They went to law school like I did, and a lot of them have as many years as I do experience in doing that.
Have you opposed any interesting defense attorneys over the years? We don't have to name names or anything, but have you had some flamboyant or otherwise interesting people on the other side of the aisle?
We have a really great bar in
Sumner County.
Mm-hmm. Mostly people get along fairly well, especially in the criminal bar. And I have a lot of respect for people who represent the defendants and do their job and do it well. And we have a lot of those people in Sumner County.
That's a great non-answer. I'll take that. Okay, any trends? Let's talk about current crime situation in Sumner County. Any trends that we're seeing locally, increases or decreases in prosecutions of certain kinds of crimes, typical drug crimes, you know, anything that's new and different?
So I think that, and I'm not going to say that this rise is going on between like 2023 and 2024, but let's say from, say, 2019, maybe the pre-COVID mm-hmm days, I think we're seeing a definite increase in fentanyl.
Fentanyl, of course.
And issues with mm-hmm fentanyl. And I think that is a real problem that we have in Sumner County.
Gosh, and that stuff is so scary. I mean, it could kill you. It could kill you just like that, and yet people do it.
It can kill you, and it does kill people. Mm-hmm. And I think the public needs to be aware that even if it looks like it is a valid prescription pill, they are not. And
there's all sorts of fakes out there, aren't there? Counterfeits,
that's mostly what is out there, right. is fakes. And you cannot tell the difference. And it is really, really scary that you can take something and die as fast as some people do and overdose. And so I think that's kind of that's something that we're definitely seeing, and we've been seeing an increase in that over the last few years, and it's sad.
Gosh. Anything else?
Typically, you see from the pandemic, I think we saw an increase in some domestic violence cases and things like that.
That kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the more people are at home. But
we need to laugh on this show every now and then.
I don't think that there's a huge increase.
The look I was getting from my producer, geez.
Yeah, I don't think there's a huge increase over what's normal there for DV cases or DUIs or anything
sure.
like that.
Gotcha. I've certainly said more controversial stuff on the show before. all right. That is pretty funny. Obviously, caseloads have gone up as population has gone up, though, right? I mean,
yes. The caseloads have been increasing over the last few years with the population increase. I think we're definitely seeing more cases.
Gotcha. And we have an additional judge as a result of that, right?
Yes,
as
and that judge is half civil and half criminal.
Ah,
so there's
half
both
and half.
Yeah, so
gotcha.
There's both civil and criminal. And I really can't speak to the increase on the civil cases because we don't do that at all. And I don't know what those numbers are. But the weighted case study showed that we needed a new judge.
All right. There is a movement nationally to decriminalize or legalize cannabis, marijuana, for both medical and or recreational use. And that has actually even come up in Tennessee occasionally. Nothing's gone very far in the late legislature, of course. But it is the case where there seems to be a movement nationwide, although not on the federal level. We're talking about individual states here. Your thoughts?
So we don't really aren't involved with whether or not something is legal or illegal. If it's illegal, then we prosecute it and we handle it, and that's up to the legislator as to whether or not they make marijuana available for medical use or for recreational use. And I will follow the law.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good answer. Think the general's listening. Speaking of the state legislature, our last question before our last break. If you were in the state legislature, something I could see happening someday, if you were in the state legislature, what is one bill that you'd introduce? It has to be something criminal justice related. Speaking very broadly, what is one bill you'd introduce?
Well, right now, there's a mandatory 30 days in jail for people that are in possession of methamphetamine.
Okay.
And I think that we need to alter the law to allow mandatory 30 days in jail for fentanyl cases. And I think that if we did that we could potentially save some people's lives.
Gotcha. So just apply the same law, but to an additional class of drugs, pretty much.
Yes. Although I think that's specifically written into the methamphetamine law, which gives the mandatory 30 days.
Right.
But I think that the fact that we are seeing so many overdoses with the fentanyl, if we could get those people and keep them from getting access to fentanyl during that 30-day period, we could potentially get them off that drug in that time period.
All right. I like that idea. It seems that sometimes, and this is, I don't think anybody's fault, this is the way the world works, but sometimes the laws are kind of behind the times, right? Things change so quickly, technology, whatnot, that sometimes the law needs time to catch up. And this sounds like that might be kind of a similar kind of case of that. Huh? Okay. All right, folks, we're going to take our last break right now. When we come back, we're going to finish up with ADA Tara Wiley. You're listening to The Loyal Opposition here on WQKR.
Calling a criminal defense lawyer or a divorce lawyer, you may think it's the worst day of your life. It doesn't have to be. If you have quality, competent representation who can guide you through a complex system, we can do that for you, despite if you've been arrested for a DUI or a robbery charge, whether or not you're going through a divorce or a post-divorce, or demanding your fundamental constitutional right to parent your children. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Why choose the Farmers Bank? We've been serving our community since 1912, and we still manage our business locally. This means that when you need banking services or a loan, we don't let a computer or someone thousands of miles away make our decisions. We make decisions locally. We visit with you in person. We shake your hand. We get to know you and your family. The Farmers Bank is a community bank built on trust and quality customer care and service. Visit us at any of our 11 area locations or online at thefarmersbank.net to see the Farmers Bank difference. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Need a Cub Cadet lawnmower? We have it. Largest dealership in Middle Tennessee. Prices starting at $34.99. Need appliances? We have them too. Come on over to DT McCall & Sons, your one-stop neighborhood superstore located at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. We carry a wide assortment of Lazy Boy recliners, lots of fabrics and colors with prices starting at $6.99. Lazy Boy and Softline sofas, check out their great prices, starting at $9.99. Serving Middle Tennessee for over 100 years. 0% interest for 12 months through First Heritage. Free delivery and recycling within 125 miles of Carthage, Tennessee. Visit D.T. McCall and Sons today at 1220 Scottsville Road in Lafayette, Tennessee. Hey!
How many financial advisors does it take to ruin what could have been a perfectly secure retirement? Just one. With today's market turmoils, it's never been more important to make sure that your investment strategies are aligned with your retirement objectives. That's why you should always seek a second opinion with an experienced financial advisor, a fiduciary who's obligated to work with your best interest so that you're absolutely certain the tools and strategies that you're using are in harmony with your retirement objectives.
Call investment advisor representatives Nathan Cox and Lindsay Cotter of Retirement Income Solutions at 833-299-1416. That's 833-299-1416.
It's never been more important to make sure that your investment strategies are aligned with your retirement objectives.
That's 833-299-1416.
Back, everyone. You are listening to The Loyal Opposition here on the mighty WQKR here in beautiful downtown Portland, where it is 77 degrees and the sun is setting, going down to 47 degrees tonight. More the same tomorrow, though not quite as warm as today. We are speaking with Assistant District Attorney Tara Wiley on today's episode. But before I forget, need to let you know about what's coming up next. We've got, of course, Triple Play Sports right after our show, broadcasting live from Planet Fitness right here in Portland, Tennessee. And I'm sure we're going to be talking about the Tennessee Volunteers in a positive way and the Tennessee Titans perhaps in a not-so-positive way. Some big news on Tennessee Titans trade news today, so be sure to stay tuned to listen to the boys talk about sports for a few hours. On this show next week, we're doing our pre-election preview show. I'll be talking with candidates Brian Robertson and Walter Chandler. We'll be giving you updates on early voting, and we'll be talking about various election-related activities, okay? So getting down to the wire. And it'll be a particularly spooky show because it's the day before Halloween and it's the week before an election, so all sorts of scary stuff probably going to come out. All here on WQKR. Anyway, back to Tara. Tara, do you get asked for legal advice at parties?
All the time. People are always curious, whether it's about a speeding ticket or more serious legal matters, and I always encourage them to consult with a lawyer for specific advice, but I can usually give them some general guidance. I try not to turn every social event into a legal question and answer session, though.
Good. That's probably a good idea if you want to be kept inviting to parties, being invited to parties. One of the things we were talking about over break is that you are in charge of voting rights restoration cases. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I do handle the restoration of rights cases for the district attorney's office, and I also handle the expungement requests that come through. Okay. And we have seen a big increase in both of those requests coming through. The restoration of rights is a civil proceeding. And we get the notification that it's been filed, and I review those and decide and make a recommendation to General Whitley as to whether or not we should agree or have a hearing. And if we agree with them and don't have any objection or need a hearing, then the we'll sign off on those, and the rights will be restored. And if we have a hearing, then the judge will listen to the proof and make a decision about whether or not their rights are restored.
How does someone start that process?
You go to the clerk's office and there's a form fill out, and a lot of people do it with no representation.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow.
In fact, most of the cases I have don't have any representations. Every now and then someone will have an attorney on those cases.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's a pretty straightforward process, an application situation. It's not that complicated.
Interesting that the numbers of that are going up.
They are. They have gone up quite a lot in the last few years, and I'm not sure what is catapulting that.
I think they're we've talked about it on the show. That must be it.
That's what it is. It's your show.
Of course, it's my show. My many, many loyal listeners. All right. And would not be surprised if some of my listeners needed their voting rights restored. All right, folks. We are just about out of time. I want to thank Tara Wiley for dropping by and spending some time with us here on The Loyal Opposition. So next time you're at a party, if you see an assistant district attorney, be sure to ask him or her about those parking tickets.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Anytime. Come back anytime. Love to have you. Always good talking with you. Stay tuned, folks. After these messages, we've got Triple Play Sports coming at you live from Planet Fitness in Portland, Tennessee. See you next week, everyone.
At the Law Office of Amanda J. Gentry, we are committed to defending your rights. Being arrested doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. Being served with custody paperwork doesn't have to be the worst day of your life. It may feel that way, but if you have Amanda J. Gentry representing you, you can feel confident that you're going to have the best quality representation in all of Middle Tennessee. Amanda J. Gentry goes wherever justice demands. 615-604-6263. AmandaJGentry.com.
Hey, all you spooksters and trick-or-treaters. This is Morty from Morty's Radio Mausoleum. I want you to join me on October 31st, Halloween night at 7 p.m. right here in the vault deep underneath the WQKR station for Morty's Halloween Party. We'll be spinning some spooky Halloween tunes to provide you with your own trick-or-treating soundtrack for your Halloween celebration. And then, Morty's Radio Mausoleum will be presenting the most famous and the most infamous of all-time radio broadcasts, The War of the Worlds, from Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater. This is the one that sent them panicking into the streets in 1938. So you want to see if we can send Portland into the streets in a panic? Then tune in right here to WQKR on Halloween night at 7 o'clock for Morty's Halloween party. Guaranteed to scare the yell out of you.
If you or someone you know is looking for a luxurious new apartment home in beautiful Middle Tennessee, you need to check out Sage North in White House. These new apartment homes feature luxurious living at reasonable prices, just minutes north of Nashville near Interstate 65. It feels like you're going on vacation every time you walk through your front door. A luxurious saltwater pool and sun deck, a fully equipped fitness center and yoga studio, an all-turf dog park and pet spa, and a warm and welcoming lodge-style clubhouse, all surrounded by garden-style landscaping and walking paths. Once inside your new home, you'll find a modern, elegantly designed kitchen, spacious bedroom suite, massive closets and storage areas, large balconies and patios, and inviting living spaces filled with natural light from oversized windows. When you choose Sage North as your new home, you'll be part of a real community with events designed to bring people together. Just 30 minutes north of Nashville in beautiful, warm, and friendly White House, featuring that famous Tennessee small-town charm, but with big city convenience. If you're looking for a new apartment home, the Sage North team would like to meet you.